I'm Silva Haripetyan. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Thanks for coming back. We're talking to Amber Kandarian. What was the path that brought you to this specific job as an acquisition director? Obviously, real estate is something that you've done before, and you have obviously a passion and love for it because everything around that revolves around helping people, and that seems to be a key component to what you do. But I, from what I understand, you've had kind of an interesting path, right?
So I lived in Fresno until I was 18, I think. And then I went to UC Irvine for studio art and digital video. And then I created my first feature film and I put it in theaters in college as a senior. It was a documentary about documentary filmmakers and how they could shift the culture. And I became very in love with documentary film. And I moved... I put my film in theaters and then I took the movie. Nobody really liked it, so I was kind of a failure. And my family was like, Amber, when are you going to get a real job? And I was like, you don't understand. I'm like a prodigy. So I left America and I went to Australia and I tried to like put it in theaters there. And I started working in video and like I taught a bunch of classes in documentary filmmaking. And then I moved to New Zealand and I was in network television. And then I got a job in Armenia and I was working for Bars Media in Yerevan. And then I started DJing and I was Armenia's first female DJ. So I was like famous and in Armenia and like no women were DJing. And they thought I was like crazy and they didn't really understand. But like the four DJs in the whole country were like, whoa, she's got the best turntables. So they used to rent my turntables for me and do like crazy shows at like the consulate and like all kinds of stuff. And then I did like this DJ tour through Spain and I was in Turkey and I was like, I was having drinks with some girl from New Zealand and she was like telling me that she worked on these luxury yachts. And she's like, Amber, see that yacht out there? Like, I work on the yacht and like, this is how much I make and this is how life is and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't believe you, but I'll check it out when I get back to the States. So I like flew back to the States to see my family. And then I applied to a job on mega yachts. And then I started working on mega yachts. I was like making way more money. It was like way more adventurous. And I was just like living on these mega yachts with like the most powerful people in the world, like the biggest titans the world's ever seen, really. Guys who owned like 30 airports and not airlines, like 30 airports. And I mean, just crazy people. And I just watched what they did. Like I would watch them because I was crew on their boat. So I like intimately got to see these very, very powerful people in action like every day because their yachts were like their tree houses and that's what they would like hide away from the world. So I would watch these people and I would like take notes. And I was like, one day I'm going to like start a company and I'm going to do what these people are doing. And so I was like, yeah, if I get an idea, I'm going to start a company and do what these guys are doing. Cause I was like taking notes from them. So I got this idea. I was delivering one of the boats from San Diego to Belize. And I was like out in the open water and else, where was it? It was, what's the name of that country? El Salvador. I was driving on the coast of El Salvador, delivering this yacht with this owner and the captain. And I was like thinking about, wouldn't it be cool if you could my brother was doing his thesis and he couldn't explain to me what his thesis was about. And I was like, Brandon, you should be able to like explain your thesis to the lay public. This is important information that you need to translate. And it shouldn't just be, you know, in this thesis that only you and your professor understand. So he like translates it. Anyway, I'm in this delivery. I'm thinking about my brother's research. And I was like, wouldn't that be cool if you made these little movie trailers that would translate thesis? And then, like, you could distribute the knowledge all over the world so people could actually, like, see what's happening in universities. And then you could make the movie trailers really sexy and cool so people accidentally watch them and learn stuff, and then they, like, evolve. So I had this idea called DocuThesis. So it was like a documentary for the thesis. That was my idea. And I pitched it to the owner. I wrote a whole business plan because we were like on the water for like months delivering this yacht from San Diego to Belize. And the owner was like, I think it's a great idea. And then the next day we get shipwrecked. We like the owner didn't flush the port engine like he was supposed to. And the engine went out. It was really scary. Thought I was going to die. And we barely made it into the port in Costa Rica. And we had to get flown back to the port. And I just thought, well, that's a pretty good sign that I should start this company. So I took all my yacht money and I started this company, DocuThesis. And I did that for many, many years. I interviewed researchers, Nobel Prize winners, Fortune 500 CEOs, all these people. And they told me, I always would ask them, like, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And they were all like, you should understand real estate. You should do something in real estate. So I read up on real estate in the stock market. Wasn't very good in the stock market. So that didn't, it kind of fell by the wayside. But I got really intrigued with real estate. And I just studied it, learned it. I ended up getting my license. And I really wanted to be a real estate investor. Like, that was like my dream for a long time. But I wasn't the best realtor. Like, I worked very, very hard. But I didn't really have a ton of traction. So I kept working and grinding and grinding. And I was like, this year I'm going to make enough money to buy property. And like that year never came, but I kept learning and learning and learning and got the shit kicked out of me by sellers and buyers. And I just kept learning and like teaching myself and reading, but like I did everything, you know? And then, I started doing like a bunch of off market stuff. I would like call up the expired listings and just befriend them. And because I figured out that like you could sell some of these deals to cash buyers. So they called them iBuyers at the time. And I was fascinated with this. I was like, you don't have to do a listing. Like you could just like get an offer for these people who, you know, obviously had priced their homes too high or had a really bad listing agent. You could like directly sell the house, you know, help them sell their house and make it really easy for them and very efficient. So I started doing that. I started getting like a bunch of off-market deals. And that's when Vartan noticed I was doing all these off-market deals. And he reached out to me and he's like, hey, I noticed you're doing like a ton of like off-market deals and you're Armenian and I'm Armenian and we should do business together. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like I'm just over here freaking hustling. And long story short, I just like talked him into letting me work with the leads that they weren't doing anything with that were like the crappy leads. And I was like, I bet I could like lock them all up. Like I probably could take all your trash from your company and like turn it into legitimate deals. So that's kind of how we started. And then one thing led to another. And we just started doing like a lot of deals together. And then I just started, I think the broker in my previous company got fired or something. And I told him about Massis Holdings and Prospect Group. And he was like, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. And they're firing me here. So you should just go do it. It sounds like a great idea. So I ended up doing that. And that's kind of like how I came to Prospect Group. And I've never looked back. Like, I really love what I do. It's like, I feel like I've always wanted to do this. I just didn't really have the company to do it with. Because I've never felt like I was a really, really good agent. I wasn't really a good listing agent or like a good buyer's agent. I don't know. I'm very creative and I'm like a problem solver. And I feel like what I do now, it fits my personality better and I can help more people with what I do. So.
Wow. I mean, I knew you had an incredible sort of life and journey and career that eventually got you into doing, you know, real estate acquisition. I had no idea it was that amazing. I thought I had an interesting life, but you beat me, my friend. That was awesome. How much of do you think what you've done in the past, everything from your creative documentary and to sort of hanging out with these titans and sort of these wealthy people have contributed to how you show up now, and also how you put deals together now?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's interesting because sometimes I look at what I'm doing and I'm always trying to get better. And sometimes I reflect on like why I'm able to connect with they call me like the house whisperer or like the seller whisperer, because like I can connect on a very deep level very quickly with most sellers. And I think it's because like I've lived all over the world. I've worked with pretty much everyone from I've done deals with the BBC to help them get like meth addicts on camera. I've worked with like homeless people. I work with billionaires, millionaires, middle class. Like, I feel like because I've worked and lived with so many different cultures and so many different people, it allows me to understand and connect with any kind of person on a deeper level, because as soon as I figure out where they're from and their story, it's very easy for me to understand like where they're coming from and what it's like. So, and I also like the thing I do, like for me, I'm fascinated with the human condition. I'm not really fascinated with showing Instagram a really big commission check or a really big assignment check. Like, that's not interesting to me. It's more about like the stories of these sellers. And then after they reveal their situation to me, then I get to come in and kind of like help figure out a creative solution. I don't know if I answered that question. I feel like I got off track with that.
No, you did. You did. I can absolutely relate because, you know, I have a very similar background, right? Like, I spent many years in media and telling stories about people, right? And I talk about the human condition all the time. And I talk about creating connections, even with, the work that we do in marketing and social media and all of that is all about, even in a digital space and social media, it's all about creating connections. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, we're all human and the human condition is universal. So if we connect with people on that level, we can, you know, we can, I think we would, I don't want to say we would be a better world, but we would be a better world, right? We would be much more empathetic and compassionate about who we are, where we come from. And if you approach the world that way, if you approach your business that way, you approach your deal that way, it makes it a lot more easier. And, you know, you, like you said, your reputation follows you everywhere. So that's important. I love that because it is also, it contributes to the way you're a problem solver, right? The creativity, the thinking, I think what you've done in the past allows you to think outside the box, which most people, you know, if their exposure is limited, they don't necessarily think outside the box and they don't explore these options or these ideas or these solutions that are outside of their comfort zone and their boundaries. So all of these things are incredibly important. And I think, quite frankly, contribute to the success that you've experienced.
One of the things that I really love about Prospect Group and Masses Holdings is like a deep part of our culture is never give up. You know, it's always like, okay, so we close all these deals and then literally like the next day it's like, okay, cool. What's in the pipeline? Like, who are we helping next? Like, what's going on next? And I think that's one of the most interesting things. Cause like, no matter what we accomplish, just know that like you can still move forward and do something more. You can help somebody else. And that's why, like, I think the vision of like positively helping the lives of a billion people is great, because you never get lazy, you never get complacent. Because a lot of people in this industry get complacent. They get one big payday and then they're out and they coast and they're like, oh, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then like 14 years passes and it's like, what are you doing? Like, you're not contributing anything to help these people. Or anyway, so I think that's really important, because I think a lot of that's important in this industry is like you always have to be like keeping it moving and helping people, or else I feel like you'll just get eaten alive.
Yeah, but that's also the difference between having a why that is like a real authentic, you know, life-changing why rather than a materialistic why, right? Like your why of wanting to help people, being of service, and you've said that multiple times. It really mm-hmm. sets you and this company, the Prospect Group, apart from anyone else who's in this business, whose why might be the next car or the next house or the next mm-hmm. Instagram photo. And I think that is also true for life, and no matter what business we're in, if you don't know your own why, and you are not, and your why is not aligned with the company you're with or with the business that you're doing, you're gonna struggle, and it's gonna be even more challenging. And if your whys are aligned, then all you're doing is pushing yourself to just be better every day and to show up as a greater version of yourself. So I love that. How is Prospect Group investment, real estate investment, different from all other investors?
Well, we are definitely way better looking than the competition I've seen. That's a no-brainer. We actually really do care. Like, if you talk to the acquisition team, like, even if people are mean to us, like, at the end of the day, like, we still try to take care of them, you know? Like, I've definitely had people say and do some really nasty stuff to us, and we always will, like, turn the cheek and just be like, look, this guy's having a really bad day. This happened to him, and, like, I understand where it's coming from, and we try to help him get out of the situation. So I would say, like, we have a heart. We have a conscience. We believe in good deal karma. We don't lie. We don't cheat. And we strive to work with people like that instead of just looking at, like, who has money and who can, like, do this and that. I think we are one of the most creative companies in our space. Very few investors in our space, in our industry, in this particular region of California. I don't think they're this creative. Most investors walk away from the deals that we lock up and solve and see through to the finish line. And I don't see that happening in a lot of other real estate companies similar to ours.
You know, I was going to ask you earlier when you were talking about all of these different jobs you've taken and all these different, you know, you went from, you know, documentary maker to, you know, Sydney, Australia, New Zealand, and, you know, on the yachts. Like, those are some really audacious risks and, you know, mm-hmm. leaps. Where do you think that comes from?
I've always been a very like fearless child and a very fearless person, and I've always been like very curious and inquisitive, and like I just love adventure and I love making history. Like, I always like to figure out the rules and then figure out how to like bend them to like do something better. Like, I'm always all about like evolving and growing, like let's get better, like let's do something better. And I think like what is it that makes me do all these audacious things is I feel like somebody has to do it, you know? Like, if there aren't people like myself who are constantly challenging the status quo and challenging others to like go to the moon or, you know, innovate or like build new technologies or do things or like disrupt a market, like I feel like there has to be people like that. Otherwise we would just, like, life would be like this boring ass plateau where like nothing new happens, nothing changes, and you don't show people through your actions like you could do anything. Like, I think that's kind of for me, I feel like that's why I'm on the planet Earth, is to like do things that people think can't be done, so that people look at me and they go, oh, well, she DJed in Armenia, so like I could totally go DJ in Armenia. Now there's a million female DJs in Armenia, you know? I feel like you have to do that because it inspires other people to like do it too and do it better. Like, a lot of other people have seen what I've done and taken that idea and like brought it even further.
Amber, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and just sharing your wisdom, not just about real estate and how this has impacted your life and also how you're impacting so many other people's lives, but also just inspiring us to just be a greatest version of ourselves, to continue to innovate, to challenge the status quo, and to just simply be adventurous. Thanks, Amber.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
All right, cheers. We'll see you next time.